When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Thursday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. A big second hour coming your way. We will take an early look to San Antonio and a Final Four on Saturday night. Some of the biggest headlines, storylines, and narratives that we need to discuss for our Final Four that starts on Saturday. And in just 5 days from now, we will crown a national champion on a Monday night inside the Alamo Dome. Donnie and I, we shall never forget. Joining us up next, we hope, is Ja Joyner, an NFL draft prospect, edge rusher out of Minnesota. We'll be rowing the boat with Joyner, looking forward to him and hearing what he is doing to prepare for that next level in the NFL draft. Exactly 3 weeks from tonight is where it begins in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Donnie's just mad the Sports Grid Network not sending him to outside Lambeau Field in Titletown, USA. Plenty of Final Four early line looks here in this second hour as well. DRS, big second hour on this Thursday.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Now you got me, you know, my mind cooking a little bit on Green Bay, Wisconsin. Good. You know, sometimes you look at the roster, it's like, man, I wonder why, like, this player is out fishing or he's with his family, doesn't show up to Green Bay. I don't think any of the prospects are going to go to Green Bay, because why would you? There's nothing to do in Green Bay, and it's cold. Have your celebration party. Like, Shedeur Sanders, no way he's going to Green Bay. Like, this guy will be partying in Vegas, Hakkasan, having fun, and Cam Ward should be doing the same thing in Miami. Who would want to go to Green Bay and walk across that freezing cold stage over there? Would never go there. Never.
What was that, Joe? Our producer extraordinaire, Joe Frieza? What did you say? Yeah, I think they both are going to be there, but we'll let Donnie just run with what he is doing.
Yeah, they say that because they want to be looked good by the NFL.
On Thursday, April 24th. Should we take an early look at what the forecast is supposed to be 3 weeks from right now? Let's take a look here. I'm really doing your job. You're the forecaster. Right now, not great. 46 degrees, but to be honest, it wasn't great in New York either today. Let's try to get out monthly here. See what the weather is expected to be.
You're supposed to be in the winter. You're supposed to, in the winter months, you're supposed to be in warmer weather where everybody can enjoy. Like, every single draft should be in Vegas. That's just where it should be. Every single national college football championship game should be in Vegas. It's where it should be.
It's not true whatsoever. As it stands right now, average for late April, April 24th in Green Bay, 58 degrees. However, I will say, record high, 86 degrees. When did that happen?
Probably Don Majkowski. Was Don Majkowski the quarterback of the Packers when that was going on? I mean, come on now.
Don Majkowski.
Imagine, man, look him up. What a flow. What lettuce on that guy, man. Yeah.
DRS. Come on. Breaking it down. DRS, how do you feel about San Antonio as a hosting city for a Final Four?
Why not? Well, I mean, Charles Barkley would tell you don't go to San Antonio and what it has to offer. But for me, San Antonio seems fantastic. And by the way, can you get a good burrito and good tacos in San Antonio? That's all I'm interested in right now. I'm on a taco kick as I watch it on, like, Insta. I don't know why I have Instagram, but, like, the YouTube Reels, they probably got some great tacos in San Antonio, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure that they do. I have no idea what Joe Frieza just sent me.
What'd he send you?
Oh,
we should not
be
in Green Bay at this time
of the
year.
Shedeur Sanders will likely not be in Green Bay for the NFL draft. Most likely doing Colorado or Dallas is what Shador Sanders had to say.
Exactly. You go destinations. Yeah. Put it this way. Did you ever sit down with your lovely fiance, Ben, and be like, it's vacation time. Green Bay, Indianapolis. Well, nobody's ever said that. You want to go on vacation where everybody can enjoy with weather and appropriate festivities around. That's how it should be graded. Championship games, big events need to be in vacation destinations, period.
Or Indianapolis, Indiana. I will say this, though. My fiance and I have booked numerous trips to the state of Wisconsin because of weddings. Beautiful out there in the summer, DRS. Late June, outside of Madison, was there for a wedding on the lake. Gorgeous.
What'd you do? Did you go to Camp Randall, though? Like, see, I'm in to see a new stadium. Did you go to Camp Randall? You could have went to Camp Randall yourself, use your press pass, got in there, and jumped around by yourself playing the music. Could have been sensational.
Could have.
Yeah.
Listen, I was with a large group, right? We did go to downtown Madison. We had brunch right outside the Capitol building. It was absolutely gorgeous. And let me tell you something, so you know that I'm a real ball knower. Donnie might go to Wisconsin and have a spotted cow from New Glarus. That's not what you want. A spotted cow is fine. Mm. It's basically a glorified blue moon. You have a moon man. You have a moon man, and that's how you know you are doing it right in the state of Wisconsin. If you were to go to San Antonio, probably should have a Lone Star. Great beer.
No, you know, look, food is right. Like, you go to Wisconsin, I'm sure I'm getting some good cheese down there. San Antonio, as Charles Barkley would say, some good churros down there and everything else. But at the same time, like, I like new destinations. You take me to the Alamo Dome, as much as I don't think it's that aesthetically pleasing. A lot of big events have taken place in the Alamo Dome. Like that, and you don't. And by the way, I always hear people like, I go to the Alamo, people like, man, this is it? What is this here right here? But I still would like to see where the Alamo is, to be honest. I would. Even though the ratings, maybe, you know, you go and get the Yelp ratings, 1, 2, you know what I mean? Come on now.
Listen, it's it more to remember that moment in your
life. Where's Davey at? Where's Davey Crockett at, man? Can he explain himself with what the Alamo looks like now? Come on.
Listen, it went through a lot to be there, to be still standing, for all of us to remember that moment. All right, we're supposed to be previewing the Final Four, so let's take a look at the big storylines and those big questions from the mind of our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friezo. Of course, DRS, for just the second time ever in the history of the men's NCAA tournament, all 4-1 seeds have reached the Final Four. The other time, 2008, where was that Final Four contested? Also inside the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Here are the odds right now. Duke has been the national championship favorite from pole to finish. Before the year got underway, a plus 950 price. Before the big dance got started, plus 280. Now entering the Final Four weekend in San Antonio, even money at plus 100. Florida second best number at plus 280. Houston at plus 430. And despite Auburn being that number one overall seed, the Tigers the longest price at 5-1. It is absolutely stacked. We have talked about the net ratings on KenPom for all four of these teams. Some of the best teams, not just this year in college hoops, but in the last 2.5 decades of college basketball, all meeting in one spot. The last four teams standing still in the chase for a national championship. So, Donnie, I ask you a rather simple question, but probably with a more complex answer to discuss. Is this the best Final Four ever?
It could be, and I'm going to say yes right now because the most anticipated Final Four for me. Now, growing up as a kid, there were extenuating circumstances. Like, we're not going to see the fourth and fifth year seniors back. Like, when I was growing up in the early 1990s, you're talking about UNLV and Duke lining up in the Final Four. I mean, you want to talk about must-see TV back in the day with stars left and right. It was there. Now, you do have stars left and right. They're just newer stars to us that will shine bright as they do and then move on to the NBA, let's just say, after a year or two. But for my money, I love it. And I equate it like this. So many times in the past, Ben, you would roll up to the Final Four and say to yourself, hey, you know what? They're going to put it's wrong to say this, like the meaningless game first and the star-studded game second. Both of these games are fantastic and unbelievable and fantastic all the way through. You got to be in your seat for game number one and game number two. But for me, I love it. All one seeds here, all deserving. From the betting markets, do I think Duke wins? Probably so. Do I want to take them at plus 100? No, I don't. You know what other team I don't want to bet, even though they're 5-1? It's the Auburn Tigers. Jani Broome, too many questions. We'll hit that in this hour. But Florida and Houston, seemingly in that sweet spot. Would you be surprised if Houston cut down the nets? Florida cut down the nets? Absolutely not, man. What a great Final Four.
because of the short number on the Blue Devils, there is a lot of value elsewhere, especially for either Florida or maybe perhaps Auburn on the other side of a Final Four matchup in San Antonio. We will talk about this more later on in this second hour. But next, let's get you set for the NFL draft. John Joyner joins us up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Exactly 3 weeks from today, the 2025 NFL Draft begins. And joining us live right here on this Thursday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid, it's the edge rusher out of Minnesota. Ja Joyner joins us here on TEL to tell you about his NFL draft process and what he is most looking forward to taking that next step to the next level in the National Football League. Ja, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for being here on this Thursday morning.
Thank you for having me.
We are very glad to have you here indeed. So, Ja, just a couple of weeks ago, now about over a month, you were at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. You ran a 4.6 40. For everybody out there, fourth fastest time of a D-end or an edge rusher in Indianapolis. So, Ja, what was the preparation like getting ready for the NFL Combine? What has this pre-draft process been like for you?
It's been everything I dreamt for. It's been a process. Getting to Florida, that's where I trained at, training with Jordan and showing me the nuances of just training and just being on my own, honestly. So that's been a blessing in disguise, and all the people surrounding me in my pre-draft, going back to my high school coach as well, him being there at the combine was truly a blessing, and just shows you the support I have from those guys. So it's been a crazy process, but right now it's just a waiting game and see what happens, see where I'm going. So yeah.
A lot of anticipation for you. And I just wanted to set the mood here because we're a lot alike, me and you. And the reason I say this, I was a Division III athlete. You were Division I, sort of the same type of things here. You're 6'4", 262. In college for me, I was 5'10", 5'11", about 180. But the reason I bring this up, Danbury, Connecticut. West Conn is in Danbury, Connecticut. I was there and played twice in my career. Any love for West Conn? Did you get recruited by West Conn? Did you ever want to go D3 to West Conn?
West Conn did not recruit me. A lot of my teammates actually went there, so a lot of respect for them and their program and what they've done there. And so yeah.
There you go, Ben. You like that question? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Kinship right there. See that? I've been there.
Yeah. Appeal behind the curtain, if you will. Donnie tells Ja Joyner, again, an NFL draft prospect, that he has a very similar story to Ja.
Yes.
And that was the result.
I've been
Thank
there.
You very much, DRS. Listen, Ja Joyner had much brighter prospects. He was going to play for PJ Fleck in the Big Ten in the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Ja, what was that experience like playing in the Big Ten, playing in the Twin Cities, and rowing the boat for Coach Fleck?
Oh, it's been an honor playing for him. I always wanted to play in the Big Ten. I always wanted to play against all the top tackles in the conferences. Just going back to go to SEC, go to Big Ten. I think those are the top conferences. So I wanted to go to one of those conferences and just play against the top talent. I had a chance to obviously go against one of the top tackles in this draft coming up with Ariante, and we got each other better throughout my entire career, and throughout our entire career there in Minnesota. So seeing the growth from me and from where I was to where I am now, it's been a blessing. And you look at all the defensive line coaches I had over those years, and on why I picked Minnesota was a development, not only on the field, but off the field as well. So I learned a lot from those coaches, learned a lot from schematic-wise and approach to the game from those coaches. So a lot of people don't like a lot of coaches in their career, I have four there as well as being in Minnesota. So just a lot of learning, a lot of notes that was taken, and just blessed.
Frame is right there, Ja, right? 6'4", 262, pass rusher coming out, 4'6", 40, which is incredible. Did you pattern your style after a certain player, maybe in the NFL or in college, growing up or even now?
Yeah, look at guys like Brandon Graham, just hit the energy that he brings. Look at Arden Key, just body type-wise. I look at his game. Look at TJ Watt, just look at the moves that he does and that model after my game. And I look at certain things like that. Look at body type, look at moves, things that I do well to emulate that from those guys that I look up to. So just to name a few, those are the guys.
So, Ja, 3 weeks until the 2025 NFL draft begins. What's the draft party plan for Ja Joyner?
The plan is to stay in Connecticut, get as much people that was in the process with me. That's mostly in Connecticut, so be here. Hopefully my grandparents can be there. That'll be pretty cool to see them there. But yeah, I'll be in Connecticut celebrating.
Ja, growing up there, obviously being in Connecticut, did you have a favorite team in the NFL that you rooted for? And is there a destination that you say, man, it would be a dream to go to this place?
I was an Eagles fan growing up. Kind of crazy household. but I wouldn't say a dream team going to, I think schematic-wise, I think that's what I'm looking for to the most, honestly. But yeah, no dreams, teams.
So Donnie, that's what you can actually show Ja.
That's beautiful.
The replica Lombardi trophy behind you.
Exactly.
As a couple of Eagles fans discussing. There it is, Ja. You can see it behind him. He's got his second one on the way.
Yeah, I seen it.
Victory in Super Bowl 58 as well. So Ja, in about 3 weeks, when you hear your name called, when you have that call from your agent or a front office around the NFL, what do you think that moment is going to be like for you? What do you think that reaction will be as you feel the emotions of going to the NFL?
I don't know. I feel like it just hasn't hit me at that moment. I feel like just really, really ready to just get to work, get back to football. I think it's more so just this, all this training has been trained to be a track star, I feel like. So I'm just excited to get back to playing football and putting the pads on and just getting ready to go.
And listen, a track star you are, and you were in Indianapolis with that 4.6 40-yard dash. Excuse me. Ja Joyner joining us here, getting ready for the 2025 NFL draft on the early line. Ja, we appreciate the time, man. Best of luck in the next few weeks. We look forward to seeing what you do in the NFL.
Thank you.
Appreciate having you on the early line on this Thursday. We'll continue to get you ready for the Final Four in San Antonio. The early lanes here on this early line up next on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
We continue to get you ready for a Final Four on Saturday evening in San Antonio, Texas. All 4-1 seeds into the Final Four for just the second time ever in the history of the men's NCAA tournament. That is Auburn, the number one overall seed, facing off against the one seed in the champions of the West region, their conference mate in Florida. On the other side, it's the national title favorites, the Duke Blue Devils, taking on the Houston Cougars. DRS, we showed you those odds to win a national championship. Duke has been the favorite the entirety of this year, before the season got started back in November, before the big dance got underway just over 2.5 weeks ago. As we look at Duke, of course, if they are the favorites to win a national championship, their best player, Cooper Flagg, is the favorite to win most outstanding player. As we continue to break down the biggest storylines for the weekend of the Lone Star State, where would Cooper Flagg rank in your mind among the best one-and-dones to ever do it in college basketball with a national championship added to the resume?
I mean, yeah, if you have the national championship added there, you're automatically up. Now, they're granted, there have been a lot of great one-and-dones who have passed through the college basketball system. And again, the guy that is going into the Hall of Fame or just got inducted into the Hall of Fame, Carmelo Anthony, one of those guys that, you know what, let me play big for a year, let me win a national championship and move on. That's legendary stuff. Because you're not talking about like, hey, I'm a transfer where I played 3 years, but I finally got to the big time and made my mark. Like, no, you're a 17, 18-year-old kid heading into college basketball for the first time and ending your only season with a national championship. How hard that is to do because it's a single elimination tournament. So maybe one of the best. And also, if he is the MOP at the same time on a great Duke Blue Devils team, you're going to certainly go down in history as one of the best to ever do it, and rightfully so, in the biggest moment. So for myself, Cooper Flagg, probably the best player in the tournament, and the expectations are if Duke wins it, he is going to win MOP. But one of the legendary performances, we need two more games, Eddie Cooper Flagg, to get to that pedestal.
Yeah, and DRS, there has been some conversation, of course, about the one-and-done era in college basketball. It looks a little bit different now, of course, than it did early on. When you really think about the great teams led by a one-and-done player to win a national championship, 2012 Kentucky, with so many guys there, the team in 2015, that being Kentucky, that was unbeaten entering the NCAA tournament and the Final Four, that came up short against Wisconsin. On the other side of that bracket was 2015 Duke, that ended up cutting down the nets as a national champion as well. Duke expected to be there, year number three under John Shire. But DRS, we have a coach in Kelvin Sampson who has 798 career victories, the second most from an active head coach in college basketball at the D1 level without a national championship. In fact, the Elite Eight matchup in Indianapolis on Sunday afternoon between Kelvin Sampson's Cougs and Rick Barnes's Tennessee Volunteers, the two winningest head coaches actively in college hoops without a national championship. Barnes still just one Final Four to show for it. Kelvin Sampson leading Houston to their second Final Four appearance in the last 5 years. He is one of the great college basketball head coaches we have seen in the last 2.5 decades. If Houston can play spoiler Duke in the Final Four in the nightcap on Saturday and cut down the nets as a national champ, what does it do to the resume and the legacy of Kelvin Sampson?
Oh, boosted immensely. Like, he's already known as a really good basketball coach, and maybe his time at other institutions isn't recognized as what it should have been, and maybe he shouldn't have moved on so many different times. But also the fact here, you didn't find your landing spot. Like, let's just say, oh, I wound up in Kentucky and we won a championship. I wound up at Duke and finally got one. Houston has always been a proud basketball program, but we're not talking about proud basketball back to the early 1980s, you know, when they had a fly slam a jamma trying to make runs there with Akeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, and the boys. We're talking about a Houston, you know, team that has been good, but now elevated to the pantheon of, like, are we going to reconsider what a blue blood actually is? Because this team coming from the American, step up in class, they can't handle it. No, even better than they were in the American, stepping up to the Big 12 here. So I love what he's done at Houston, and boy, what a crowning achievement if he gets Houston in the Final Four, which they are in San Antonio, and wins a championship in their home state of Texas. That would be phenomenal. I love Kelvin Sampson, but what he's done at Houston has really been phenomenal. Leveling up in competition and getting better every year, impressive.
It really has been impressive, DRS. And when you think about where Houston was before Kelvin Sampson came to H-Town, a proud basketball program, going back to those five Slamma-Jamma days, but that was the mid-80s when you had Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, coached by Guy Lewis. In fact, that Final Four appearance back in 2021 for Sampson and Houston was the first Final Four bid for the Cougs since 1984, nearly four decades. Now they have been there twice in the last five seasons, trying to get to the pinnacle, trying to cut down the nets atop the ladder as a national champ on Monday night. But we've taken an early look at these games. This is the early line, of course. We preview both of our games in the Final Four on Saturday. Up next, live right here on the early line on Sportsgrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Final Four in San Antonio, just 2 days away. A doubleheader of action starting at 6:09 p.m. Eastern Time. And by the way, our Sports Grid Bracket Central coverage is back on Saturday. Myself and Donnie Wrightside live in studio together for the first game up to on Final Four Saturday night. That will be Florida and Auburn. For the nightcap, it will be the coach, James Young, J.Y., alongside Kevin Walsh. So, DRS, as we look at the early lines for this game here on the early line, between these conference foes, you and I will be breaking it down live, having those bets that we are sweating out with everybody. 2.5-point spread in favor of the Gators. A total that opened at 160.5 that has worked its way down to 159 and a hook. Let's start, DRS, with the number for this game. Auburn is the number one overall seed and yet booked as an underdog entering their Final Four matchup. Does that sit right with you?
Here's what doesn't sit right with me. Understand this. Like, usually we head into the Final Four and it's like, okay, we know the teams are going to play and see what happens. What happens in the game, different story. Foul trouble, injuries, and you go away with it. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Like, Jahni Broome just might be the best player in the country. He couldn't hold his arm up against Michigan State in the final couple of minutes of that game.
Yeah.
Jahni Broome has not practiced yet this week up till today, sitting out the past couple days. So when I look at this spread and say, are we getting one of the bargains of the century, honestly, on Florida right now? Who, yes, they needed a comeback and a miraculous comeback to beat Texas Tech. I understand that. When I look at the Auburn Tigers, the minute he went down in that game, I started to sway back over to Michigan State. Now, granted, Michigan State might not be talented enough to come back from a 10-point deficit against Auburn, great player or no player. But at the same time, I don't think you can roll into this Florida game and say, hey, Jahni Broome's 50%, can't, you know, go down low and grab enough rebounds and play great defense, and his shot is going to be affected by it because his elbow still hurts at this point. But you're looking from an odds maker perspective that said, okay, well, we know about the injury. It's 2.5, and it still sits 2.5 today. Am I the only one that's making a big deal about Jahni Broome where I don't think he's going to be 100%? And I say to myself, Auburn can't win unless he is 100%? Because you saw, Ben, all year long, and also the Michigan State game, he was absolutely phenomenal in the first half of that Michigan State game. He was like the only offense they had and the only rebound that they had. And if he's damaged goods, where does that leave Auburn?
Yeah, it's a really good point, DRS. And this is not just one of the guys in the rotation. This is Jahni Broome, who is probably going to finish runner-up for the National Player of the Year, only behind Cooper Flagg. Of course, he checked out with about 10.5 minutes remaining in that game in the second half against Michigan State, dealing with the right elbow injury. Now he is a lefty, but still dealing with it. It looked really serious, DRS, because as he was escorted off the floor with the help of training staff, he looked over at his head coach and his players in Bruce Pearl and said, listen, I'm done. He came back in about 5 minutes later. Didn't have to do much. He did hit a three, but he was really taking care of that right elbow. Again, to your point, injury status at this moment. Has not practiced as of yet. Still more than 48 hours out from tip in the final four. I think it is something to especially monitor because at the point where Jahni Broom was injured with 10 and a half minutes remaining in that game, Auburn was ahead by double digits, right? You didn't need him from the very start. They could ice away that game against an MSU offense that was struggling. You need him for all 40 minutes against a really dangerous Gators team that is playing incredibly well. DRS nearly 79% of the bets in terms of the money, I should say, on the spread wagers backing Florida at this moment. I ask you one final question comparing these two teams that are conference foes. They only met once this year. That was back in early February on the road on the plains for the Gators in Auburn. They were a double-digit dog. They won that game outright 90-81. That was back on February 8th. Again, as we compare these two teams, we look at the whole of this season and what that game represented, DRS. Do you think any of that really kind of carries over from early February to where we are now in a Final Four weekend?
I mean, it sort of does. If you told me that Jahni Broom missed that game, I go, okay, this is what Auburn looks like when Jahni Broom doesn't play. But correct me if I'm wrong, he played in that game. So when I look at it, I don't take anything away because I don't know what I'm getting out of Auburn here. Now, we might get a lot of these issues cleared up over the next 24 to 48 hours, as you said, before this game tips off. But if you tell me right now my best player is a question mark heading into this game, I don't see how I can bet Auburn. Look, I understand they're the top seed. Yes, they have depth. They have a great coach in Bruce Pearl, and they can have other players step up in big moments. But in the biggest moments against other number one seeds, yeah, I think I need my player of the year candidate there going full gas with 25 and 15 to give me a chance down the stretch. That's what I'm waiting to see. But right now, as it stands, I look at Florida and say, I don't see any other way possible. Right now, I can bet Auburn without the certainty of knowing if Jahni Broom is 100% or what his capability is going to be. And also understand this. Just because he plays doesn't mean he's ready to go. Hey, second quarter goes down. Hart Alley falls to the ground. There goes a hyperextension again of that elbow, and he's out for the game. Those are worries for me.
Yeah, DRS, they have to be. There's no doubt about it. By the way, the Gators over in all four games so far in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Auburn at its best, under in three of the four so far in the Big Dance. We'll talk more about that game a little bit later on. Let's get to the nightcap on Saturday. Highly anticipated between Houston and Duke. The Blue Devils opened as a 4.5-point favorite, got quickly up to 5.5, bet back down to 4.5, now 5.5 in favor of the Blue Devils, with a total that really represents what you can expect in a game against the Cougs, 135.5. DRS, where do you begin your breakdown between the Blue Devils and the Cougars?
I begin that we're going to have this game in Texas. Now, does that mean you're going to have an overwhelming support for Houston there? Not necessarily. Duke does have a big fan base, but as we tend to believe that when Duke is playing and your team is looking to play the next game and your fans are in the building or the team that just lost, the teams tend to cheer against Duke as their fan bases. We'll see how that plays into it, but also understand this, the beginning of look at both of these totals. 161.5, the opening number in the first game against Florida and Auburn. It's in a dome football stadium. We now see 159.5. You take a look at the total for Houston Duke. Two really good offenses, but not a ton of pace. You still figure they'll score. 136.5, now to 135.5. The reason I'm bringing this up is you see both of those lines dropping because we aren't in that normal collegiate NBA / arena. You're now in a football stadium. But understand this. The Houston Cougars, Ben, where did they play their last two games? Elite Eight, Sweet 16 in a football dome stadium and look good doing it here. Maybe there's the advantage of been there, done that. Now, granted, new sight lines, new city, I understand that. But they don't get that shock of, wow, look how big this arena is. I wonder how we're going to play in an arena. Yes, Duke is going to practice there. They're going to get their shots up. They're going to try to get used to it. But nothing beats game day in the moment, and you've had Houston have that. So for me, it's interesting to me for that line's bouncing back and forth. Where I think it ends up, I don't think it ends up 5.5, to be honest. I think it's 5 or less by the time we get to game time. So advantageous now to take the Cougars? Probably so.
75% of the money on the spread backing the Blue Devils. It was a lot of early money on Duke, only to be answered by Houston. I would not overlook the Cougs entering this matchup. And when the total is only 135.5, Houston can stay within that 5.5-point number, even if the Blue Devils emerge victorious. I think we would be surprised, DRS, if the first game between the Gators and the Tigers, The winner did not cover the number with only a 2.5-point spread unless we get games that are sensational. Second ever time in the NCAA tournament, we have seen all four of the one seeds reach the Final Four. The other time, also in San Antonio back in 2008. We expected that to be a Final Four unlike we had ever seen. It really wasn't. Kansas beat North Carolina 84-66 in one of the national semifinals. In the second game, Memphis beat UCLA 78-63. Those games were a little bit lopsided, each decided by a 15-point margin. But then we got to a great national championship game, the Mario Chalmers three to force overtime against John Calipari, Derrick Rose, and the Memphis Tigers, one of the all-time great national title games we have ever seen. We are hoping for two very competitive games, the RS, on Saturday night in San Antonio.
Yeah, we're going to get them, too. I truly believe that. And you also have the dichotomy of the early game, expect a little bit more tempo. The second game really ratchets up on the defensive end. But two great games here. No complaints from anybody. All four seeds, top seeds got there. They deserved it. And I can't wait to see it play out here live with us on the grid.
Yeah, it's going to be sensational. Again, our Bracket Central coverage starts on Saturday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. DRS and myself. NFL news and notes next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Live right here on the Early Line, it is a Thursday in our second hour. This week in West Palm Beach, Florida, we had the NFL annual league meeting where you get to hear from a couple of the tastemakers, of course. I'm sure there was a lot of conjecture about those proposed rule changes in what was agreed upon this week as well by the NFL owners. That includes front offices, though, as well, DRS. And Katie Blackburn for the Cincinnati Bengals, their executive vice president, was asked on Tuesday about the status of star edge rusher Trey Hendrickson, and of course, his contract negotiations with Cincy. She had this to say, quote, "I think he should be happy at certain rates that maybe he doesn't think he'd be happy at. I think some of it is on him to be happy at some point, and if he's not, you know, that's what holds it up sometimes," end quote. Trey Hendrickson, yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show, formerly of the Sports Grid Network, was kind of making a joke about all the April Fool's jokes that he saw his name involved in, teams he was traded to, contracts he had signed. And when he saw that quote from Blackburn, the EVP of the Bengals, he said he hoped it was April Fool's as well. When it wasn't, he realized it was rather disappointing. The Bengals take maybe a small step forward and many steps back. Here we are once again.
I can't remember what draft it was, but I want to say Alabama. Do you remember the name, Ben? Andre Smith, one of the better young left tackles in college football. He got drafted to the Bengals. He slipped down the board just a little bit until he got to the Bengals. So when the Bengals drafted him there, like he said, okay, overdrafted him a little bit, I should say. You know, whatever, it was a top 10 pick. I can't remember exactly what it was, but the negotiation between the Bengals and him was, no. We think you should have been like 15 or 16. You went like 7 or 8 or whatever it was. We want to pay you like the 16th slot. And the agent goes, that's not the way it works. Like, you drafted me at this spot here. We're supposed to get paid a certain amount of money. Just to give a little bit of backtrack on how the Bengals actually think. And over the years, the Cincinnati Bengals have been the cheapest organization in football by a wide margin, charging anywhere from meals that you get at the facility to extra socks or game pants that you wanted to wear. They did it all at this point. So I just wanted to set the table for the negotiating skills. And also, for the Bengals, always getting that bargain. Hey, you got 3 or 4 felonies and nobody else will sign you? Good. You're worth really $20 million a year? We'll pay you $3 million a year. Welcome to Cincinnati. They've done that with multiple players over the year. So now it sets the table for your really good football players and deservedly pay grades and upgrades. Now, granted, you might say, Donnie, they did pay Joe Burrow. They did that. It's quarterback. That's what you're supposed to do. Number one overall draft pick. Keep him in your franchise. Then the wide receivers that you could have signed 2 or 3 years earlier and saved a ton of money. You didn't do that. But I do give you credit for getting those players signed. But here's where it comes down to, and it's a lot of fun. If you remember also Carson Palmer 20 years ago, I hate this team. I hate this organization. Just trade me out here. And they go, yeah, we'll trade you at our price. Two first-round draft picks. He sat and rotted on the bench, and the Bengals were worse for the wear at that point, but finally found a dumber organization in the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders, to make a trade for him at the two first-rounders, and away you went. So now we get to Trey Hendrickson, who they're gambling in bad faith with him, saying, oh, you want to trade? Yeah, of course. We'll shop it around. We want two number ones back, and if we don't get it, you'll gladly come back here, and you will play under the salary we deem is effective for you. Well, that's not necessarily how it works around the NFL with one-way contracts where, hey, good player wants a new contract, either trade him or pay him and keep everybody happy. So if you're Trey Hendrickson going, look at all of these defensive ends. I led the league in sacks. You don't want to pay me. You said you could trade me, but now when teams probably go, we'll give you a high second round, you go, no, it's two ones or he stays right here. I could see the anger and the angst at knowing my big payday is here and my organization have done nothing but sack the quarterback and do what you tell me, that you're not going to let me actually get a trade or pay me what I'm worth. I understand it.
17 and a half sacks for Trey Hendrickson each of the past two seasons, including in 2024, leading the NFL in sacks, finishing runner-up in defensive player of the year voting. The thing that has always been astounding about the Bengals is they've been a little bit hesitant, of course, to have that financial foresight to pay the big deal. Almost like, all right, well, if you prove you're really a top dollar player, we'll pay you. And then everybody has gone out there, even exceeded the wildest expectations, raising the price of the brick. I mean, that is why I do not commend the Bengals on paying Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. For one, they paid way more than they had to have the financial shrewdness to then be able to pay everybody else on the roster. And secondly, it just took them too long. So now you are in a position where you're not willing to pay Trey Hendrickson. So yeah, you can score 45 points a game. Doesn't matter if he let up 50 on the other side. The Bengals have the fourth best price to win the AFC championship at plus 950. By the way, DRS, just a little bit of movement in those AFC title odds. The Chiefs are not the favorites right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook at plus 420. It's the Ravens at plus 340. The Bills at plus 380. Just thought I would mention.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And again, a lot of changes are going to happen over the next couple of weeks here. The draft, the end parts of free agency, the trades into the summer, injuries are going to happen, all of that stuff we understand. But getting back quickly to the Bengals, right? It could be argued that you could say, like, they have Joe Burrow, which is the most important part. They're a sieve on defense right now. What happens if they would have traded Ja'Marr Chase? Probably got two first-round picks for him. T. Higgins, a first-round pick, that's three. And Hendrickson, you could probably bargain with a team that would be like, you know what, missing piece of the puzzle, great defensive end, a first-round pick. Would you have rather had the wide receivers in the setup you have now and absolutely no money to spend on any defense, or four first-round picks on top of your already first-round pick this year? Like, honestly, if Joe Burrow is as good as what he says, you get some quality wide receivers, not top end, that offense is going to move. And you rebuild that defense with four first-round draft picks over the next 2 years? It's interesting thoughts to think about, but from a betting perspective, I love the fact. Give me a bad defense, give me a great offense, how much fun we have on a Sunday afternoon betting those type of teams. But it is some food for thought on what the Bengals could have done here. Or at least you signed, you Chase, you traded Higgins and Hendrickson, two first-round draft picks you get back. Maybe that could have been the better way to do it.
I'm not sure Joe Burrow would have played for a Bengals team that did just that, trading away all three of his favorite guys.
Yeah, they would have forced
him. Well, maybe so, but it wouldn't have been exactly the best.
Carson Palmer. Yeah.
Maybe so, but it would have been the best representation of what he could do without those talented players around him. DRS, earlier this week at the annual meetings as well, Buffalo GM Brandon Bean basically saying, yeah, we're not all that close in terms of signing James Cook to a contract extension after a record year for him with a ton of rushing touchdowns in 2024. James Cook then put his Orchard Park home on the market. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Here's what you do. Let me put this house on the market. Now, you're my agent. We're not having any showings here. We're just trying to put pressure and leverage on the Buffalo Bills. Like, I'm willing to sell my house. You know what I would do? Give me the log of how many times you showed that house and offers you got on that house. Then we'll get back to the negotiating table, pal.
DRS always reading between the real estate lines. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL headlines, new betting markets for the 2025 NFL draft, exactly 3 weeks away from the opening night, the opening round of that NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. DRS, some more headlines from yesterday. Dak Prescott, of course, who had a season-ending hamstring injury, is back throwing. That's great. Hamstrings looking good and arms looking better.
I saw Dak drive around in a car. Looks good. Goodness, man. Yeah. We are at a low point.
Fantastic.
Right now.
The hamstring injury midway through 2024. He should have been throwing at the end of 2024, even if he's not dropping back. Big whoop-de-doo. Russell Wilson will continue wearing number 3 for the New York Giants. Young cornerback for New York, Deontay Banks out of Maryland, giving up his number to Russ. That's not really the story. This is the question. Imagine a young Donnie Wrightside got out of WP, William Patterson, had actually beat West Connecticut in Division III college football.
Western,
much like John Joyner, was drafted in the NFL and was wearing number 3 for the New York Giants. Russell Wilson is signed, and he says, listen here, DRS, I want to give you a couple of bones for that number 3 jersey. It's been my number. I want it to be my number. How much do you want? How much would Donnie Wrightside charge for a number change?
Yeah, it would be. But by the way, like through my high school career, I was number 13 all the way through. When I got to college, my freshman year, I was number 82. So 13 wasn't available. Got 13 for my sophomore year through my junior year and senior year. But by the way, also, just getting back to like D3, like I can imagine this because I had hamstring injuries and a hip flexor injury my senior year. I can imagine calling my mom at home. Hey, mom, I'm going to redshirt this year, which I don't even know if that was even a thing. And I want to stay an extra year in college to redo my senior year so I don't have so many injuries at this point. That would have been a wild conversation, but that's why I bring up like Dak Prescott. Hey man, pop some pills and get out there the next week. I had a torn hamstring in this one game my senior year. One game, not 8 weeks, one game at that point. So fight on, man. Come on, people. Stop being so soft.
I just love that it was like a headline that Dak Prescott is throwing again. It almost got me thinking, because did he have a shoulder injury a couple of years ago? And I was like, oh, you know, it's the shoulder. And I was like, wait, it was his hamstring that caused him to miss this year.
I saw that, and I had to actually Google, what the heck did he actually injure again last year? Because I can't even remember like if he got injured or not. So when I saw it was the hamstring, I'm like, man, that is the longest hamstring I've ever seen where Dak looks great. He's back to throwing again. Like, what did he even get hurt? You're right.
So you wouldn't charge Russ all that much for a number change if he wanted 13?
You might. What was the movie where Wesley Snipes played like the Barry Bonds figure when he came to the San Francisco Giants and he couldn't get his jersey number? So he had a terrible season there and it wound up they had somebody kill the guy so he'd get his number back on the right side. Like, the fan. I wouldn't have gone that far at that point, but I'd be upset. Like, if you come as an established player, like, what's it going to take? And my guy's like, I don't even care what you give me. I'm not doing it. Like, that's bad animosity. But if you are a player that's not like, hey, I make $30 million a year. Hey, man, a couple G's, maybe a jersey, maybe a car at that point in exchange for the jersey. Like, that's what I would be doing at that point.
All right. Well, that took a different note than I was expecting. Yeah. Anyway, wait, DRS, new market available for the 2025 NFL draft, which starts exactly 3 weeks from today. It's for the number 3 overall pick. So we're starting to get a better picture later here in the draft process of what the odds makers anticipate happening at the very start. Number 3 overall pick odds, the odds on favorite. That would be the Heisman Trophy winner in Travis Hunter. Now already a minus 165 favorite to go 3rd overall. Of course, that is the pick the Giants hold. Cam Ward minus 2,000, basically solidified as that first overall selection. At number 2, Abdul Carter, a minus 270 favorite. And Travis Hunter, now minus 165 to go 3rd overall. His Colorado teammate, Shedeur Sanders, second best price at plus 185.
Interesting to me that Abdul Carter is a plus 350 there. I think that number is way off base. It should be a 3,000 at that point. There's no way Abdul Carter makes it past number 2 in this draft. So you look at the top 2 guys, right? Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. The number 3 pick, the New York Football Giants, they have their quarterbacks. I think it would be ridiculous if they drafted Shedeur Sanders and still said, well, I'm going to play Russell Wilson, who I signed, and have Shedeur sit out an entire season. If there's one guy that you can say that has a playoff and a NFL mindset, it's Shedeur Sanders. Here's what to learn from anybody. That guy's been in the spotlight his entire career, his father, as his head coach all the way through. He's ready to be an NFL player. So I don't think it makes sense. So for me, I do think Travis Hunter, minus 160, is the right bet here. If you're saying I'm not going to take a quarterback and I just went pure talent at number three, it's got to be Travis Hunter going number three overall.
DRS, I think it's going to go chalk in terms of how the odds makers are seeing it right now. Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, and Travis Hunter, 1, 2, 3 in that order. Our third hour starts next on the Early Line.